Growing pains. Growing up can be a difficult process. If you can remember back when you were just a young teenager, you probably experienced physical pain in growing. My children to this day have little aches and pains here and there, and I can tell you, because I have to buy pants 4 times a year, that it is growing pains. Amen. When my son's pants become high waters in 2 months, it's time they're growing. There's growing pains. There's growing pains for his physical body and growing pains for my pocketbook. Amen. It's not cheap buying clothes for the kids and keeping them clothed. It's very difficult. Pain, it's a painful process. But I think the more painful process in growing is not necessarily physical, but spiritual and emotional. I think one of the hardest lessons we learn are the lessons that we keep bottled up inside. Nobody sees them, but they were painful lessons. Maybe the lessons that brought about because you made mistakes. You ever make a mistake and learned a lot from it? That's what you call a growing pain. Amen? I've made many mistakes. I've made them before I was a Christian. I made them after I was a Christian. I made them before I was a pastor. I made them after I was a pastor. And you know what I've learned? Every mistake is a stepping stone to learn on. Amen? One thing I learned from many of my mistakes is how not to do that again. Amen? had to quit from making that same mistake. I like to do carpentry work. I enjoy it. I love to work with my hands. I love to build things. I enjoyed working on this building. I really did. But one thing I learned, that if I hit my hand with the hammer, I don't want to do it again. And so I've learned that if I don't want to hit it with a hammer, I keep that hand out of the way when I'm doing the full swing. There are times in our life that we are learning how to be Christians. God is teaching you how to be a Christian, how to live for God. And I think today what we have a serious absence of is mature Christians. Christians that have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, to know right from wrong, to know how to exercise that part of themselves that can say, this isn't right and this is right. Today we have a serious blending or blurring of the lines. We don't know what is right and wrong today because many Christians aren't coming to God to know right from wrong. And today I have to censor my message as not to offend people when I talk about righteousness. Oh, come on, stay with me tonight. I know it. I know it's tiring, but I promise if you shout amen, I'll preach 25 minutes and be done. I promise. Amen. Oh, yeah. Woo, amen, everybody. Just give me 25. I'll even do 20, all right? Just give me 20. Praise God. When a man of God tries to preach about righteousness or sanctification, or, oh, God forbid he preach holiness. God forbid that he get up and talk about your sins. Whoa, come on, somebody. God forbid that he get up and address the problems of the church realm today. God forbid that he do that. But how are we ever going to grow if we're never challenged? If we're never pushed, if we're never rebuked, if we're never told right from wrong. I am so thankful for a mother who knew how to tell me that pan is hot. Don't touch it. She was not worried about offending me. She knew the offense of the burn was greater than the offense of telling me not to touch it. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know that some of the greatest lessons you learn is from the preacher telling you, don't touch that hot, sinful pan. And it might hurt while I'm preaching it from the pulpit, but I promise you, if you touch the hot, sinful pan, it's going to hurt a whole lot more. And this is the process of growing. God wants us all to grow up. Not be so sensitive. Come on, somebody. When the preacher gets you, right? Come on, I've sat in church and I know the preacher read my mail. Right? Followed me around and he followed me and he knew where I was. One time, I told you this before, but I'm gonna tell you it again whether you like it or not. Say amen. Amen. When I was just got saved and God was moving in my life, I loved to fish. And I'm a fish. I'm a fanatic when it comes to fishing. I love to go fishing. If you want to go fishing, call me. I'll go with you. Amen. So I'm always looking for a reason to go or to get out and go fish. I love to do it. And I would go fishing all the time because I had plenty of time to do it. I was going through a school program that gave me plenty of time to do it. And I remember the pastor got up and he preached a message on your fishing too much. I know somebody told him something. Amen. But you know what that did to me? It jogged my mind and made me think, well, maybe God's trying to get my attention. Maybe God's trying to tell me that, hey, you know what? You are fishing too much and maybe you need a little more time with God. And so I listened to the man of God. I didn't look at him and go, well, you don't know nothing. You better just mind your P's and Q's. You might as well just let it go, preacher. I didn't do that. I listened to him, and I let that word get into my heart, and I let it change me. Listen, if you never let the word of God change you, it ain't any good to you. Oh, come on. That deserved a better amen than that. Remember, now we're going 30 minutes. You missed it. Praise God. Some of you are like, oh, man, it's going to be an all-nighter. I'm just kidding. There's always these pains in growing. And so God is trying to get us from one place to the other, to get us to a place where he can use us. How many know when you were a baby, you had very little you could do? You knew how to cry. And that's about it. You know how to flail your arms and legs, but you didn't know how to use them. But then as you got older, you learned that them legs could stand you up. And then it was hard for your mama and your daddy to keep up with you. Right? And then you learned that you could make these things work faster. You learned to run. You learned to adapt. You learned to get stronger. And today many people are lifting weights and athletics and doing things because they learned the simple thing. They've got to grow up. And the same is true in Christianity. God gave you legs, spiritual legs, but many people are still flailing them around like they don't know what to do with them. Many people are still crying like they got wet diapers. Amen? Many people are still asking the preacher for a binky. And the reason of all this is because they haven't come to a place that they're willing to let God to get them to a place to grow. They don't want to be challenged. Don't talk about righteousness and holiness and justification and sanctification. Don't talk about how I should love God and how I should be stronger and how I should be a better Christian. Just tell me God loves me and that's enough for me. Right? Come on now. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves every one of us without condition loves us. But there comes a point in our life where we've got to grow up and let God move in our life in a place we never let him move in our life before. And all of that is spiritual maturity. Now, let me give you four things about spiritual maturity. Four things about it. One, spiritual maturity is not about age. Four important facts. Spiritual maturity is not about age. You can be older and still be a babe in Christ. Age means nothing. Age means nothing. David was just a little teenager, but he was a giant killer in his heart. And there were many trained soldiers there hiding in their tents and behind rocks when Goliath came out, but the little teenager had enough faith to believe God. Amen? Amen? So age is not a factor about spiritual maturity. You could be a teenager and be on fire for God and be more mature than some of the older saints because they haven't let God take them places. Amen? Amen? But what's really sad is when a Christian's been in church for many years and all they are is the same Christian they were when they first got saved. That is a very sad thing. That they haven't grown in places or adapted in places, or that God hasn't been able to deal with them about certain things or even change them about certain things. So age is not a factor. Number two, achievements are not always a sign of mature Christians. Achievements are not always a sign. Just because you achieve something spiritually, you brought someone to church, that doesn't mean that you're spiritually mature. Or because I built a building, that doesn't mean I'm spiritually mature. Amen? Or because we together did something and we accomplished something in the ministry, that doesn't mean spiritual maturity. Achievements do not always mean it. Now, I will tell you this, that as you grow in Christ, you will achieve more for God. Amen? But that doesn't always mean that you're spiritually mature. So we can't look at the credits of someone or look at the works of somebody or look at that and just automatically think they're mature Christians. Right? We can't do that. Achievements are not always a sign of it. Number three, spiritual maturity is not based on appearance. Just because you can come to church and look like it. Come on, somebody. Maybe you could put on one of them holy dresses. Or men, we could put on them holy suits. Button it up and look all dignified and put our chest out and beat on one side and go, I'm God's child. He broke the mold after me. Right? Come on, somebody. Right? Appearances don't do it. Just because you look it don't mean you got it. Listen, I could put on all the gear that a race car driver drives his car in, but when I get in the car, it's a whole other level, brother. You know what I race in? Bumper cars. Amen? That's what I race in. Could you see me in the whole get up in a bumper car? I would do that. That would be funny. Just because you can put the get up on don't mean you got it. Understand? Spiritual maturity does not about your appearance. The fourth fact is spiritual maturity is not about terminology. Just because you can say hallelujah at the right place don't mean you got it. Just because you know how to say amen don't mean it's there. Just because you know how to say a little glory, hell, that doesn't mean you got it. You know what I'm always fascinated by? When I meet new people and I don't tell them I'm a preacher, we'll talk about everything and all kinds of things, but the moment they find out I'm a preacher, all of a sudden the spiritual terminology comes out. Well, praise the Lord, brother. God is so amazing. And it's nothing more than a fake facade. And I'm telling you, it's not fun for me as a preacher. I was having a great time communicating, learning about this person, learning who they were, until they put the show on because they found out I was a preacher. Terminology doesn't mean you got it. Just because you know how to say it don't mean you got it. So you need to know what maturity is. A mature Christian thinks of others. A mature Christian thinks of others. If you want to be a mature Christian, quit being selfish. Amen? Don't make this church just about you. Hello, somebody. Can I go out on a limb? It may break in your life, but I'm going to go there anyway, amen? If that chair is so important to you, that you won't get up from somebody that's new, or you come to church a little late that day and you find somebody sitting in your chair. Amen? And all of a sudden some holy indignation rises up in you. And you start looking at that person crooked and you walk by and you just kind of look. You sit in front of them. You sit behind them, And you're just waiting for them to go to the bathroom. Right? That way you can get their seat. And when they come back, they don't even realize you moved them back a chair. Right? Listen, I know that's funny to you and I, but I'm telling you, there are people that caught up. I want you to know that's not spiritual maturity. Then you sit in a chair and you're thinking all about you and how great this chair is to you and how long you've sat there and how great this is to you. If the preacher can't come back and say, hey, can you let this person sit there? You haven't come to a place of spiritual maturity. It's still about you. Let me give you some scripture that backs up what I'm saying. If you go to the book of Job, you'll come to the first chapter. And I don't want you to turn there for sake of time because I have some more points. But I'm just going to tell you the simple story. Job, he has seven sons and three daughters. And his children are important to him. But the Bible says that they would go and have feasts. And they would feast for a long time, apparently, because Job would wait till the feast and the festival was all over. And when it was all over, Job would go out and he would get a sacrifice out. And he would sacrifice not for himself, but for his children. And he said, just in case they sinned against God. You talk about thinking about others. Oh God, I'm coming to you right now for my kids because they may have made some mistakes, but I want you to have mercy on them, God. That's what you call spiritual maturity. When you're thinking of others before you think of yourself. When you're actually thinking, you know what? I'm going to go up to the altar and not look for a blessing, but I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to pray for somebody who's down there praying, and I'm going to pray with them until they pray through, and I'm going to be with them until they get a blessing, and I'm going to be with them until they feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be with them. I'm not going down for me. You know, I've learned as I've grown that some of my greatest blessings are watching others blessed. Amen? That's spiritual maturity. You learn to watch others be blessed. It's not always about you. Galatians 6:2 says this, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A mature Christian knows how to come alongside somebody and bear their burden. Amen? That you need to ask yourself, are you mature enough to carry someone else's burden, or are you just so burdened down that you can't? That's a very good question, isn't it? It's a very challenging question. It's a probing question that will make you actually look at yourself, examine yourself, take spiritual inventory of yourself and ask yourself, do I need to grow a little more? And is there a way and a how to grow? Is there some way? You see, I'm like the guy who watches their child grab a hold of the coffee table and has never walked yet. And they grab that baby, grabs the coffee table, and the wife and the husband are sitting there going, come on, baby, you can do it. Right? Come on now. You know how we talk to them beautiful babies. Come on, you can do it. And when that little baby gets on their feet, oh, aren't we praising? Oh, that was so good! We take pictures, it goes on Twitter, it goes on Facebook, and we get this whole spiel about how the turmoil and how difficult, but they overcame. Right? Come on now, you know that's how we all are about our children. That's what I'm like. I'm up here in the pulpit, and I'm seeing God move in people's lives, and I'm watching them move from glory unto glory, and God's picking them up to different places, and I'm shouting victory with them, saying, yes, praise God for the victory in your life. Mature Christians can walk beside someone and bear their burdens. Mature Christians pick up those that fall. You always know when you're not mature when you see a fallen brother or sister and all you can do is maybe want to quit yourself. Amen? When you're ready to quit because someone else made a mistake, you're not very mature. I remember when I was just a young kid, I wasn't saved at the time, but I remember when the whole Jimmy Swaggart scandal came out. Thousands upon thousands of believers left the faith because their faith was in the man and not the Jesus he was preaching. Now, I'm not against Jimmy Swaggart. I think he's doing a great thing right now, and I got nothing to say negative. All I'm simply trying to say is that my faith is not in a human being. And so when someone else falls, I'm not that insecure that I have to go fall too. A mature Christian knows the difference. When somebody falls, what do they do when somebody falls? They go and they pick them up. Amen. They go and they pick them up. That's what mature Christians do. They don't get the gossip line going. Oh, shout now. Amen. I felt Jesus when I said it. Don't get on the hotline and start calling Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so and say, did you hear what happened? I'm only calling you because I want you to pray. Ha ha, yeah, I got you. You thought I didn't know, amen? That's what we do when we want to put a spiritual stamp on it. But the truth of the matter is we're not praying when we're calling somebody, we're spreading. And when you spread the devil's venom and the devil's injuries that he's caused to other believers, you are facilitating more distress and more of his disunity by doing so. Mature Christians know how to see a fallen brother and go beside them and cover up the sin that's there. Come on, somebody. Amen. The Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins. And if you love that brother or sister, you're not going to speak evil, but you're going to come and do whatever you can to pick them up, cover them up, and hide things. I know I have been a pastor now since 24. I'm 37. I think it's like 13 years or something like that. I know a lot of stuff. I've sat down and counseled, and I've heard a lot of things. But you know what's going to happen with those things? They're going to die with me. You'll never hear them. I'll never say them to you. And I won't even sit in my office and talk to you about somebody else that ain't in the room. If you want to come and complain to me about your husband, I'm going to talk about you. That's my marriage counseling. If you want to come and complain to me about your wife, I'm going to talk about you. And you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to say they're not here to defend themselves, and we ain't talking about them. Amen? The devil works in that junk. The devil works in that. And mature Christians know how to come alongside the hurting and the fallen and pick them up. Amen? Thessalonians 5:11 says this, 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Oh, man. Encourage one another and build each other up. Come alongside and build that which is broken down. Come alongside and pick up what's fallen apart. Come alongside and build them up. Encourage them. Don't come and get more gossip so you can go call somebody. Amen? Encourage them and build them up. That's how we do it. The Bible says this, Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's Bible. That doesn't mean get the stones out and start stoning people. Right? Now we got 45 minutes now. Amen, 45. let me go to this one. Mature Christians are not easily moved by the highs and lows of life. I said mature Christians are not easily moved by the highs and the lows of life. If you know anything, you know one thing. Life is full of ups and downs. One minute you're on the mountaintop, the next minute you're sunburnt in the valley. Right? One minute you're shouting, next minute you're going, oh Lord, what's going on? One moment it's perfect, the next moment it's trouble. It's just life. It rains on the just and the unjust. And unfortunately, we're a part of all that. And so we go up and down, up and down, up and down. And many times we go into a storm, come out of a storm, go up a mountain, go down the mountain to a valley. And we find ourselves in so many different types of terrain that a lot of times, if you're not mature enough, you won't know how to handle that. That's why with babes, God is very careful with them. You don't put them in places of authority because they can't handle it. They're dealing with too much ups and downs and highs and lows, and they don't know how to process it. And they don't know how to withstand against evil. But there's all kinds of terrain, all kinds of ups and downs. And mature Christians know how to keep it steady in a storm. Matter of fact, some mature Christians, when it's really pouring outside, they go outside and go, oh, this is just trickle. Just a little rain. It's no big deal. They've dealt with that kind of rain all their life. They know how to handle that. Isn't it amazing that what used to cause you to go frantic and crazy when you were just a young person today is like, oh, I wish I'd go back to that. Right? Because today what you go frantic and crazy about has nothing to do with that. What I used to be able to handle as a young Christian today is like dancing through the tulips. Because today I deal with demons and demonic spirits like you would never believe. Today I'm battling Satan on a daily basis, not just in my life, but in other people's lives. And I'm praying them through, and I'm praying me through, and I'm believing God through all that. I'm telling you, I couldn't handle that as a young Christian. I had to get to a place. Mature Christians are not easily moved. They're not ready to quit the first time the storm comes. They're trying to figure out how to hold on. Mature Christians don't compare themselves with others. The Bible says this, that if you compare yourself with others, you're not wise. So you look at the Christian across the way and go, man, I wish I was like them. Why? God made you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Why in the world would you want to be somebody else? Oh, I wish I'd go back and be like this or be like that, and I wish I could preach like that, or I wish I could sing like that, or I wish I could be that committed or that faithful. And you're looking at somebody and you're comparing them to you, and you see them way up here and you see you way down here, and that's not how God sees it at all. That's how you see it. God doesn't do this. He is no respecter of persons. He don't look at me and go, oh man, that's the crop there. That's the cream of the crop. And look at you and go, no, you're not. Amen? Matter of fact, he might look at me and say, he's really low. Those people are the cream of the crop. Amen? God doesn't do that. God is not a respecter of persons. He looks at us and says, just come to me and I love you. Amen. Amen. I love you. That's how God looks at us. And so mature Christians know this, that they're not to compare themselves with somebody else and think they could do better based upon the merits of somebody else. The only thing that mature Christians are looking at and saying, this is who I want to be like, is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Mature Christians do not compare themselves with others. Mature Christians are not threatened by other people's viewpoints. I said mature Christians are not threatened by other people's viewpoints. You know, when everybody has to be like you, there's a problem. I grew up in a holiness church. Well, I grew up in holiness, period, okay? And with that, everybody looked like everybody. The women had Holy Ghost beehive for hair. Amen. The men, I didn't dare get up behind a pulpit and preach without a tie on. I want to thank God that I'm the pastor here and I can wear a tie if I want to. And if I don't want to, I won't wear one. Amen. Praise God for that liberty. I grew up that it was a sin to wear shorts. In Arizona, that is not the will of God. Right? I grew up that way. And listen, I'm not dissing my heritage. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. Because it taught me a lot about commitment, faithfulness, and things like that. What I want to get the point is that everybody looked like everybody, and nobody was different. Everybody said the same thing. Everybody acted the same way. Everybody had the same terminology. Everybody was so similar that the only way you knew that you were a part of them is if you came and became similar with them. And you were ostracized, even shunned until you aligned yourself. Hello, somebody. How many people know what I'm talking about here? And until the women came in wearing the dress and putting on the holy hair bun and the men came in looking like they just came off the GQ magazine in a perfect suit, until everything was just right, that's when they would come and actually have a meaningful conversation with you. Everybody had to look like everybody. I am thankful, Brother Jack, that you wear Hawaiian shirts every service. I love that about you, and if don't ever change that, amen? I like it that he preaches in them, amen? I like that. I like differences. I like people that are different. I don't want to be around me all the time. I got me up here. Have you ever argued with yourself? Yeah. Amen. Okay, then I'm not the only one, right? I thought I was crazy, amen? Amen. 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 You see, God loves differences. And he loves it because he created us all different. I love what Mark Lowry said one day. He said, "Look at your thumb." He said, "Your thumb is your own, that's your own imprint. That's you." And he said, "Look, your thumb buddy." Amen. Your thumb buddy. Isn't that awesome? That's Mark Lowry for you. He works for Mark Lowry. Don't work for me. Amen. Your thumb buddy. Amen. You're different. God made you distinct and different. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to sing like me. You don't have to shout like me. You can be you, and that is good enough. God loves you just how you are, and he don't need you to be somebody else or compare yourself to somebody else. And praise God that you're different. Mature Christians can take that in and handle that. Some that aren't mature cannot handle the different viewpoints and the different philosophies. But we all come from different places. I grew up at a Thanksgiving table that devoured everything. And we were not proper. We didn't have 3 forks and 2 knives. We had a knife and a fork. We did not hold them properly. This is how we held them. We just dug into the turkey, put it on the plate. Amen? That's how we eat Thanksgiving. We are not cautious with the gravy bowl. If it spills on the side, we don't get a napkin, we get our finger. Amen? That's how I roll at Thanksgiving. My wife's family's different. I'll never forget going to our first Thanksgiving with my mother-in-law. The table was spread. I had 3 forks, 2 knives. Everything was proper. Everyone sat up. Everyone was at attention. No one dare taste anything. No one dare touch anything until we prayed. And then when we prayed, it was dignified. Thank you for the turkey, Lord. Everything was proper. I had to ask my wife, which fork do I use for the salad? And my wife goes, I don't know. I used all three forks. I don't remember what for, but I used them all. Amen. It was so proper, but you know what? I told my wife, I go, that's not how I want to do Thanksgiving. I want to sit on the couch and watch football. And I want to feel like I'm bloated from the turkey. I want to hurt when I leave the table. And I want to sit there and think about the leftovers after the football game. And at halftime, I want to go and get me some more. And then I want to try to go outside and play some street football. And I want to play with my friends and hang out. That's what I call Thanksgiving. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I don't want to sit down and talk about the turkey. I want to eat it. Amen? Amen. But that's the difference, is you can go from one place to another, and we can't be offended by those things. There's going to be people that come through those doors that come from every walk of life. How are you going to handle it when God sends homosexuals in? Amen? We don't agree with their viewpoint, do we? But that is not how we're going to handle that. We're going to be loving. We're going to be there. We're going to strengthen them. We're going to wrap our arms around them. We're going to tell them how much we're so glad they're here. And we're going to treat them like every human being. We're going to treat them like the Holy Ghost bun-wearing women. Amen? We're going to treat them like they've been in church all their life. We're going to treat them good. And even though we don't agree, we can still be agreeable. My last point, say amen. Mature Christians understand that there is not an on-off switch for living for God. In other words, you can't turn it off and turn it on. You're a Christian on Sunday, but on Monday, whatever. You control your tongue in church, but you don't on the job. You can't just turn it off and on. Mature Christians know this. They know that they're a Christian on Monday just like they are on Sunday. And that their best witness is not that they got up and went to church on Sunday, but that they look and act like the church on Monday. Amen? That's mature Christianity. You see, when we can discern both good and evil, we know how to walk in what's right. And God's trying to get us to that place in our lives where we can discern both good and evil, and that we get our walk where it's supposed to be. We're supposed to pattern our life after Jesus. We had bracelets come out in the 90s. It was, what would Jesus do bracelets? And that philosophy is so true. Ask yourself, would Jesus do that before you do it? Ask yourself, would Jesus go there before you go there? Ask yourself, would Jesus partake in it before you do? Ask yourself, would Jesus drink it before you drink it? Ask yourself, would Jesus smoke it before you smoke it? Amen? Amen. You need to ask yourself those things, because mature Christians will allow that evaluation in their lives. Amen? They won't get offended by the evaluation. They will allow that evaluation in their lives. Don't be offended by the evaluation. Don't be upset that God wants to evaluate you. Be thankful that He loves you enough to do it. The King James Bible puts it this way. You are no longer, forgive me, I'm going to go out on a limb, but I'm not using this in foul language or nothing. I'm going to go out there, but I want you to understand that. The Bible tells us that you are not bastards. You are children of God. Amen? You have a father. And you represent that father. And how you live is a representation of your life in Christ Jesus. So be thankful you have a father who will chasten you, who will correct you, who will come in your life and show you right from wrong. What he's trying to do is get you to grow. Amen. I'm responsible. I want you to know something. Your Heavenly Father has taken responsibility for you, and so represent Him well. Amen. Represent Him well. Don't allow yourself to turn your Christianity on and off. Be a Christian always. Live for Him always.